Al's brother is going to be riding solo here, the O-Dog.
Nice.
Off today. The O-Dog will be back on Monday to yell and scream if Al's brother gets it wrong. But as we suggested earlier, the grappler couldn't find a hat, couldn't find a piece of paper, so we couldn't post a video on the revealing of who's going to pick which game. So we don't know yet. We're not sure yet. We will flip a coin in the moment. I guess we have to determine what we're flipping for. Are we flipping for, you know, chronological order? Or is it whoever wins the coin flip gets to pick which game they want to bet on?
I don't know how you guys
feel about that.
But. Oh, yeah. You should, if you win the flip, you should get the right to pick the game you want.
Okay. All right. So it's kind of like the NFL rules. Like, you get to receive, right?
Right?
Like, you want the ball, and if you go down and score a touchdown, then the rest is history.
100%.
That works for me. All right. I'll let Al's brother go, Josh Allen. He can pick, too. I took some heat for that take I had earlier in the week, and I thought about it afterwards. It was a pretty... Like, I'm good with... I can bring some takes that are outrageous and at times don't age well. I don't think I was criticizing him for getting the coin flip wrong, but I did say he could have got it right, you know? So
are
I don't
you
know...
Serious,
50%.
Okay. Are you
no,
serious?
Can you criticize a coin flip?
I argued with you about that. I said, like, what was he supposed to do? You're like, well, get it right. I'm like, it's a coin flip.
I know that, but it's like, you know, you go to a roulette table, and if your buddy says, here, I'll throw 20 bucks with you, you pick red or black. If you get it wrong, your buddy's not going to say, hey, what are you going to do? He's going to be calling you a moron, right? He's going to say, you're an idiot. Why didn't you pick the other one? As if you're supposed to know. Clearly, Josh Allen can't know what's coming, but he did technically choose, and he got it wrong. So is that a bridge too far for you?
That's a new one, Hayes. Of all the things people are hammering the Bills about, that you may be the only one that's on that one.
Well, then I'll take it. It's a unique angle, you know, embracing debate. I'm into the hot takes when it comes to coin flips and whether or not you picked it right or wrong.
Yeah.
Because I do think that's something he's probably got to chew on a little bit himself. Obviously, he's not going to own it, or people are going to be angry with him. Josh Allen is the king of Western New York. No one's angry with him, nor should they be. But it's probably premeditated that he went out there saying he's going to pick tails, I believe it was.
He picked tails.
Yeah, and he picked tails basically every time. I think he always picks tails.
Right.
But what if it was a flip? What if he walked out there and McDermott said heads, and he goes, I'm going heads, and then in the moment he buckled and said, you know what, I'm going tails. Then do you have to own it?
I think you have to own it then. If you're told to do something and you don't execute, if the coach goes, go and choose heads, and you go out there and say tails, and it's heads, like, that's on you.
I think so.
Then you have to own that. But we're not privy to that information unless there's an all or nothing out there that you can hear him actually say, like, go and choose heads.
Should the Bills have done, like, a scouting report on the referee's coin-flipping tendencies, Hayes? Is that what you're suggesting?
Biggest
here?
Moment of the year. Biggest moment of the year. Biggest moment of his young career, Allen McDermott. And, you know, in the end, didn't win the coin toss, never touched the ball, and now they're sitting at home, and Kansas City's playing this weekend. I feel like Duffy will be on my side.
Yeah.
Duffy and I think we're going to see eye to eye on this.
I'm not sure.
Here's our buddy James Duffy. Do you think there's any possible scenario where Josh Allen could deserve criticism for getting the coin flip wrong? Can you picture any scenario where there's a hot take there?
I know you desperately need me in this situation because you have no support surrounding you.
Right.
But unfortunately, I am a lifelong tails guy.
Okay.
I have been tails my whole life. I don't believe in the heads movement. I never have. I don't trust heads people. And so I live and die with tails. And so I respected Josh Allen, even though he was wrong, and it cost them the season.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't have a commitment one way or the other. I just wing it, whatever's
Are you guys looking? No, seriously, I'm a tails guy in almost every flip. I'm
really? Your heads?
Guy.
I go both. I swing both ways. Heads, tails, whatever, man. I'm out there living.
Do you feel like most people are heads people?
I don't know.
I would like to see some nerd do a study and do the coin flips in the NFL, CFL, whatever. And I bet you it's 70% heads. I just feel that way.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess now in Buffalo, you know what they're going to be picking from for the rest of time will be heads. if you're in Buffalo and there's a coin flip. Like, what a troll job that would be. Just stop the biggest
Bills fan. I know this is a trendy thing now, and it only happens once in a while when a great game like that ends in a bad way and people bring up overtime, and then other games will end you know, somewhat normally, and it won't matter. But this comes up every couple of years. But it is the dumbest thing ever, and I really can't believe it's gone on this way for, you know, most of history. Well, it was worse before when you could win with a field goal. That was right. That was 10 times more ludicrous. But it's not like everyone's talking about all these scenarios. And I do like the CFL one. People might think it's goofy to start at the 35-yard line or whatever. But you don't really have to change anything except let the other team have a possession. That's all you really have to change. And, you know, if they don't match, and I think you could make it 2-point converts. So in all likelihood, you're not going to have anything good. I don't think the first team's going to score a touchdown, get a 2-point convert, and then the next team's, I suppose, with the Bills and the Chiefs, it could happen, but it'll happen rarely. But all you have to do is just give the other team a crack, and if you get a field goal, well, they win with a touchdown, or they tie with a field goal, and it's fairly simple change.
Yeah, there's just always been this hang-up on this idea of a game that will never end, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what always comes up. Like, well, you can't be playing forever. Who believes that that's going to happen, that you're just going to play forever?
But they are so unique anyways. Like, if they allowed that to happen, do you think that there would be a game that would go till 6 a.m. the next morning?
No, but, like, maybe second
quarter? I think if you look at college, U.S. I remember there's been, like, there's a couple U.S. college football games, and I'll get this wrong, that were, like, 75, 74 or something, where it went five times. I don't know what the league, have Naylor or somebody or Farhan confirm this, but you know, I think the CFL ones, I think it's declared over after a certain amount of time, is it not? I should know this, but I forgot. It might be three each or something like that, but I don't think it's gone much beyond that. So yeah, you might get a game every 5 years that goes, you know, they go back and forth three times, big deal. You know, it's like the Stanley Cup playoff, they play five overtime games, so come on.
Right, yeah, exactly. Right. Yes, it's a physical sport, but you know, like at some point it's going to come to an end, and once I don't know. I mean, the issue is you could just keep doing this in perpetuity in terms of, well, they got the ball first, they scored, then we scored, then they scored a field goal, and that's not fair because they got a chance to score the field goal and end it, you know, in their second possession, and that's still the reason they got that possession was because they won the coin flip. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to keep coming back to that.
Well, the coin flip would automatically become everybody wants to go to kick.
Yeah.
Right? And I see. There's nothing wrong with that. That's still way more fair than completely losing it on a coin toss.
Yeah.
Still having each offense is getting an opportunity that way. So I don't think you can't complain that way, that it was more fair. We lost the coin flip, so the guy that got second had a better opportunity. That's just silly. Everyone's getting the ball once, and that's fine. Aren't we burying the lead here, though, of why I'm on this program right now?
Yeah.
Why are you on this program?
Go ahead.
Well,
it's the other game no one cares about. You're here to talk about that game.
The game no one cares about.
Rams.
The Grappler offered me an opportunity to come on Monday, but I thought, I care about you, Hayes, and I thought the wounds would be too fresh.
Yeah.
And so I purposely asked for a Friday appearance so you could have healed properly, and you'd just be excited that you'd have come around to the notion of donning the gold and red, because it's always good when your team, the team that beats your team, you always cheer for them. That's the fans' right way to do things, because then you can always claim to be the second or the third best team in the league when it's over, and that's what you should do, and that's why you will be a Niners fan this weekend, correct?
Well, I might be betting on them, and if that's the case, I mean, generally that's the way it works with me. And yeah, listen, I got to give credit to the Niner gang. You know, they went up there, and I don't know how the hell they won, 13-10. Jimmy Garoppolo accounts for 6 points, his offense. But
everyone, you know, people were ripping. I made a comment throwing you some love that those were the two best teams in the NFC. And I still believe that, as bad as some people thought the game was. I didn't look at it that way. I thought it was two really good defenses. And the Niners D, I mean, I guess they're getting credit right now. I'm not going to say nobody's talking about them and all those stupid things we say. But I just think the Niners D the last 3 weeks has been ridiculously incredibly off the charts from a guy who watches watches them all season and studies them every single down. Their ability to just put pressure on and sit seven guys back every single play essentially has killed, it killed Stafford in the game that got them into the playoffs, and then it killed Dak and it killed Rodgers.
Yeah, it did. Really did. No, there's full credit there, man. They look like the Super Bowl team from a couple of years ago. It's very similar. I think with a better feature back, although Mostert was unbelievable 2 years ago, incredible 2 years ago, and Deebo Samuel is a freak of nature.
They've become, I don't know if it's a Shanahan thing, kind of like his dad, where, and I guess they talked about this on the broadcast, they seem to be able to put, I don't know if they've just happened to have a string of several great running backs, or it's like the old Broncos were under Mike Shanahan, where whatever the system is, any running back they put in there seems to have incredible success. And that's the way it's been for the Niners really for the last 3 years. So, like that Mitchell kid, what, a sixth round pick or something.
Yeah,
and he looks fantastic. So, it's been honestly as a Niners fan, it's been one of the more fun runs beyond all the Super Bowl years, just because the unexpected runs are always the fun runs, right? When you're the number one seed and all that, then I don't know. Something like this is just, when it was 17-0 at the half against the Rams and I was thought the season was over, to come back now and be a game away from the Super Bowls is fun.
So, Duffy, it's going to be, you know, an interesting dynamic at SoFi Stadium in L.A., because in a lot of ways, a lot of people are predicting it's going to feel more like Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara on account of the fact that, A, the Rams don't have a lot of fans because they haven't been in the market very long, and B, your 49ers fans, you know, they travel, and they're going to travel. Apparently, one of the ticket marketplaces is saying 65% of the seats in the aftermarket have gone to San Fran fans. A, are you going to be among them? Are you going out? And B, what do you think it'll be like to be in that stadium?
If anybody watched that last game against the Rams, I would say it was solid 75% the Niners fans. And I just think part of that is the Rams are still this transient team that's gone sort of back and forth, and I don't think have never really had that ridiculous fan base in L.A., at least since like the 70s and 80s, and that's probably part of it. And the Niners, I mean, they're not the Leafs fan base, but they're kind of like that. They do travel really well, and the Niners are one of those teams that, like the Packers and Cowboys, that does have fans everywhere, tend to show up. I'm not going. In fact, this will be my first Super Bowl I won't be at in, I guess, 8 or 9 years. So if they make it, I'll have mixed emotions. But I kind of don't mind, because then I don't have to wear that, you know, journalistic integrity and unbiased hat that I had to wear, like, whatever it was 3 years ago against the Chiefs. I can just be at home and be a fan. And that's kind of fun when your team is in it, as goofy as that sounds.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it's a total, I mean, you're down there working, and you're, mm-hmm. you know, you can't sit there and just be watching. There's no cheering up in the
time, you know, they lose to the Chiefs, and we got Laurent Duvernay-Tardif with us or whatever, and I'm like, congratulations on an excellent effort. I don't cheer for anybody in sports anymore, and I'm sure you guys all feel the same way. The business sucks the fan out of you, but that's the one team that I've sort of stayed on. Like, I don't have to cheer for a team in the NHL. I get accused of being a Sens fan. My parents were big Sens fans, and I'm from Ottawa, but I don't care. Obviously I like the Raptors to win because they're Toronto's team, and I'll get on the Jays bandwagon once in a while, but the Niners is the only true team I still really root for hard and geek out a little bit about.
Well, your fandom, like, if you were in a press box and you were sitting there watching, like, do you yell and scream? Like, O-Dog got, like,
well,
he's
was,
gotten
we
in
had,
trouble
there was a
for
moment.
Like,
I don't know if this ever got discussed on the show, but during the playoffs, I think 2 or 3 years ago, we were in the press box, and they scored, and O-Dog literally did a fist bump and was like, yeah! And he was chastised by one of the reporters.
And then,
I'll just say it was Kenny Campbell. And, you know, and Ken, when we were taught, like, I don't know if Kenny went to Carleton, but, you know, in journalism school, they teach you that that is a primary sin, to never root or cheer. And that's so embedded in me that I would never, ever do that, ever. But that doesn't mean I don't blame O for doing it. O's not a journalist, right? He's a guy who played and still wears his heart and soul beliefs, and he happened to be in the press box. And frankly, that happens everywhere. Everywhere. I can remember the L.A. Kings final. The crew, it was a Jimmy Fox, and I don't know who was the other. Who was the other guy that used to do
this? Daryl Evans? Game? Evans?
Yeah, I think so. But
the
Jimmy
suits,
Fox,
with the suits.
Jimmy Fox was literally swearing at the referees, I think, from the press box. And again, I don't, because he wasn't doing the games in the final, right? The TV gig was doing national now, so he was off. But again, I don't really have a big problem with that. He's the analyst for the team, paid by the team, and he wears his heart on the sleeve. So, you know, I respect that from those guys. It's just, I don't think as a host or a reporter, you can really do stuff like that.
So McDavid had a couple of goals last night, one in the shootout that was nasty.
Ridiculous, yeah.
And the
other
one, you know, standard end-to-end, tucks one in. And UC Soros, I mean, he's top five Vezina guy right now, right?
Yeah, he is. He's statistically been unbelievable.
Yeah, and it feels like it's become so commonplace for this guy to do these kind of things and score these just almost borderline miraculous goals. And I'm a little bit freaked out by that because I don't want to become immune to like the shock value of a guy like McDavid, but it kind of feels like we're creeping towards that level where he's scoring these type of goals and it's just a matter of fact that he goes end to end and blows by a guy and tucks one in. Just a matter of fact. Wasn't nice enough, didn't deke three guys out, so not worthy of us starting the show with it. It's crazy what he's capable of doing and making
it's
just
the ultimate
look routine.
You're paying him the ultimate compliment, right?
Yeah.
He has normalized the ridiculous and the incredible. And that is remarkable. And I think we're probably going to see the same thing with, you know, the Zegras-type stuff. Not necessarily this season. Like, I was still blown away by that goal last night because he did it at top speed. But, you know, the Michigan, the lacrosse goal, whatever you want to call those things, they're probably going to become a thing that I would say in, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now that you see one. I'm not going to say every night in the NHL, but, you know, maybe every week or something, and you just kind of go, oh, yeah, there's another one of those. It doesn't mean anything anymore. And that's a shame because they're remarkably, incredibly skilled plays.
Well, the only thing I would say about it is we were so critical of Edmonton during that 15-game stretch where you weren't seeing that stuff from McDavid, so you were almost like, what's wrong with McDavid? Because when you're so used to seeing, what, every three games, every four games, McDavid do something like that. And when it didn't happen in those 15 games, you're like, oh, man, this guy, you know.
Not feeling it. Breaking it down.
Yeah, not feeling it. Not finding ice.
It's redefined slump, Noodles, right? It's not, not just a stat slump of scoring, but if it's a spectacular slump. If you don't do anything in 3 weeks, there's something wrong with him. And, again, I just think that's just – what we're doing here is just giving the ultimate compliment
to it really is.
The most skilled player in the history of the game.
He's phenomenal, and that's three in a row for Edmonton. So they're.
I mean, he's no Debo Samuel, but he's a good player.
He's a very good player. He's George very Kittle good. Or, you know, I don't know, Jimmy Garoppolo in crunch time. Garoppolo gets wins. His win percentage in the playoffs is pretty good.
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G. And I love how anyone that criticizes Garoppolo, you know, this is a big story this week. Jeff Garcia went off to Mina Kimes. There was completely just a goofball rant that was completely offside, in my opinion. But furthermore, I think what Mina Kimes said was appropriate. And everyone's like, well, leave Jimmy alone. He plays for a team that traded up to get his replacement. Like, I love how people on the outside say, man, I don't know about Garoppolo. Shanahan doesn't believe in Garoppolo. He made that abundantly clear. They traded
the only
up.
Plan this year, the only plan when they were 2-5 or whatever, was to play him to build up the trade value for him. And then it just
shot. If he wins a Super Bowl, what happens?
Further.
What happens
if he wins? I think you have to bring him back. And look, he's not – like he. I have a real love – complicated love-hate relationship, as I think most Niner fans would have with him. I know he's not Aaron Rodgers, or he's not a top five quarterback in the league, but he's a good, there's a lot of crappy quarterbacks in the league. And I think he's a decent quarterback. I've had to admit that to myself as much as I've sworn at him countless times over the years. I think he's not a terrible quarterback on a great team. He's a decent quarterback on a really, really good team. And what? He could win you a Super Bowl. Something will probably go awry either this weekend or if they make it to the big game in the big game again. But he's a good quarterback, and I think you have to respect that. But if you win a Super Bowl, I think you have to bring him back. I really think you do. It's $25 million, I think they owe him, which is sounds crazy, but in the day of the $40-50 million quarterback, it's not that bad. And I think you just, if you can get him for one more year, whatever, I'm not sure if that would be the case, and just postpone the whole transition for another year.
What a glowing endorsement. What a glowing endorsement of Jimmy G, what you just said. Like, he's a middle of the road, like maybe lower than middle of the road. Like, no,
he's a top half of the league quarterback. He's probably in the top, I'd have to go through and look
32.
At it.
You know,
middle
of
the pack. He's probably like the 10th best starter in the NFL.
No, he's not. He's not even close.
Not even
to the
top 10.
He's not. I don't know if he's in the top 20, Duffy.
He's top half of the league. I'm going to stand by that.
Okay, if he is, he's 16th. Like, that's what he is. He's right.
He does a lot of little things well that you guys don't appreciate, all right?
Ringing endorsement.
The best endorsement is, I guess if he wins a Super Bowl, we'll have him back. you can come to the parade.
Look, when you've won as many as we have in the Bay Area, and you there's a standard that standard's a little bit different, okay, than Green Bay, and they're one in the last 40 years.
I can't
just different standards.
I understand that. Montana, Young, and Garoppolo. I mean, that's the torch.
It.
Well, good luck this weekend. It's going to be a fun one. And
wait a second, do you really mean that?
Yeah.
Them to win?
I don't like the Niners or the Rams. So it doesn't really matter to me one way or the other.
I don't like, by the way, that we've beaten them, I think, 6 times in a row. I don't like that. When it comes to numbers, I don't like things like that. But I didn't like it when they'd won 5 in a row in the last weekend of the season. They won anyway, so who cares?
Right.
We're going to win.
Exactly. There you go. Good luck, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
See you, boys.
There's James Duffy, big Niner fan. And picks are coming up. Al's brother has been waiting patiently. He's got tremendous information. Noodles, you've got the coin.
Yeah,
it will be flipped.
Ready to rock.
Whoever wins it gets to pick whichever game they want to play, which
Hayes,
adds to it, doesn't it?
Hayes, don't blow the coin toss, man. Don't blow it.
I don't know if I want it. We got to determine who gets to call it.
It's got to be you now.
Now
it's got to be you.
Okay, you're right. It kind of has to
you're
be.
You're killing Josh Allen.
If I'm killing Josh Allen, I got
to. You have to have the call.
I put a target on my back. You're right. I got to step up here. All right, I'm doing it. We're really doing it here. Aspen and coin flips.